You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. The news story today, and it's not one that I'm really following that closely, but can't miss it, is that the Mueller investigation has finally gone to trial, and this is the trial of Paul Manafort. And what's interesting about this is a tax evasion case of 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, that was investigated, and the prosecutor in the case decided not to prosecute. Remember, an indictment, and Mueller has indicted people, is not proving anybody guilty. You see, what's been done so far and gotten a lot of press is, and these are two cases that Mueller has indicted the Russians. Remember, what supposedly started this investigation was so-called Russian interference in the election. That was quickly changed to, because that truly was not about what this is about, Trump colluded with the Russians. There's no evidence of it. I even think the FBI and Mueller has come to that conclusion. They can't say it out loud. You better believe they can't say it out loud. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if by now there truly was collusion between Putin, the Russians, and Trump, we would have known about it. We truly would. This is, like the new book says, this is the Russian hoax, and it is a hoax. You see, and that's the danger of authoritarian regimes. And I'm talking about not Donald Trump, but Barack Obama. This was a conspiracy to get Hillary Clinton elected and Donald Trump smeared so he would lose. It failed. It failed miserably. And it surprised a lot of people. Now, Paul Manafort, for a brief period of time, was campaign manager of the Trump campaign. He was really hired to get Trump the nomination because he had some experience in that area. Now, the mistake that the Trump campaign made is they didn't have a strong vetting process. Now, they got better over time, because if they had vetted the background of Paul Manafort, he never would have been hired. And he was quickly fired when his background, his past, sort of caught up with him. What Mueller is trying to do is to flip Manafort. Now, if he has any knowledge of Russian collusion, then the flipping would make sense. But Manafort knows he has nothing. Trump knows he has nothing. They have cooperated with this investigating, providing millions of documents. And that's why I say they've come up dry. It's a dry hole. What they're trying to do is really suborn perjury. Because if you're in a situation of Paul Manafort and you're getting this pressure and you have nothing, there's nothing to give up, then you make it up. In other words, you compose lies. I don't think Paul Manafort's going to do that. So this, in a way, is a make-or-break case for Mueller and as well as Manafort, because he could go to jail potentially for not tens of years, hundreds of years. I don't think that's going to happen. And based on what his attorney says, they're going for broke. They don't care about any let's make a deal. They're not going to compromise. And you shouldn't compromise. Now, Paul Manafort is in the enviable position. Now, I don't think he thinks that, even though he's sitting in a jail. If he's not in court, he's in jail. He has the money to defend himself. Most of the people, really low-level people, marginal people, didn't. And that's why they went quickly pleaded guilty for lying to the FBI. Many of them probably didn't lie. They just wanted to get Mueller off their back, and they had nothing. See, that's the problem. If you have nothing to implicate President Trump and the prosecutor is prosecuting you, the worst thing you can do is lie to him. The best thing to do is shut up and don't say a word. What's scary about this is the federal government engaged, and I seldom totally agree with Trump. But here I think he's right. This is a witch hunt. This investigation should have never been started, because it's required. If you have a special counsel and it's a criminal investigation, you got to specify the crime. They didn't specify any crime because it wasn't a criminal investigation. What was it? It was a counter-espionage investigation. Oh, yeah, they found some Russian activity. Do the American people think that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians? The majority of American people don't. They say, and I'm in the same boat, show me the evidence. If you had the evidence and could, what evidence, I mean, not hearsay, not allegations, you got to prove it in a court of law. And these lawyers might be very smart, but eventually they go to court, and that's when you got to prove it. So why a lot of attention is being paid to this case, it's the impact it will have. If Mueller loses this, it's a big loss, and the credibility of the investigation becomes paramount. I don't think they never should have appointed a special counsel for this. They need to appoint a special counsel, but to go after the Department of Justice and the FBI employees, and we're talking the high level here, that were engaged, not in collusion, were engaged in a criminal conspiracy, first to make sure that Hillary Clinton got the nomination by getting her out from under a criminal investigation that had tons of evidence that she was guilty of. James Comey, the FBI director, went through the evidence, and anyone that listens to that July 5th press conference until the very end thought he's gone up prosecutor. It's only at the very end he changes the law. He says, you have to prove intent. Well, no, you don't. The law doesn't require that. And even if you do, there's plenty of intent. You set up your own computer server to handle your email, sensitive government information. You see, ladies and gentlemen, not only did she miss handle classified information and lied about it, she compromised national security. It was a cover-up, and she was hiding. What was she doing, and why she was afraid of this? If she had done the right thing and set up an email account, Department of State email account, then the press can ask what's called FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act. They can request documents, and the State Department would, usually delaying and delaying and delaying, and provide the information. She didn't want that. She ran the State Department off of that server, and people were sending and receiving communications from that server. Ladies and gentlemen, she destroyed evidence, too. She was guilty of sin. And the fix was at the highest levels of the FBI, the highest levels of the Department of Justice, and let me remind you, everybody thought she was going to win. That's what you need to understand. She was the so-called inevitable candidate. Well, we learned later that there was rigging of the primaries against Bernie Sanders. Now, I'm no fan of Bernie Sanders. But if the Democratic Party had ran Bernie Sanders, Trump would have more than a mandate. He'd have a landslide. And I think if it were truly a fair fight and didn't have the DNC putting their thumbs on the scale, Bernie Sanders might have won, even though Hillary Clinton had locked up a lot of what's called the superdelegates. So I'm not following this tax case. And what's interesting, the judge is instructed primarily to defense, but it really applies to both. You don't mention Donald Trump. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. The events in this case involve the actions of Manafort in 2005 to 2007. It's a tax invasion case, maybe money laundering case. But it's not anything to do with two things. Why was this investigation started to investigate Russian Trump collusion? That has absolutely nothing to do with this case. What they did is they looked around in the Justice Department. Here's the irony. The prosecutor in this case is now the current deputy attorney general that appointed Mueller to investigate. What I'm seeing, what happened in the Obama administration, you could describe as authoritarianism, the misuse of the government. It should scare everybody. It really should. And that's why I keep saying, even though I know I'm repeating myself, that it's incumbent upon Jeff Sessions to appoint a special counsel so that the Department of Justice and the FBI restore some, if not all, of their credibility. They have no credibility with me at all. And the only way they can restore it is to investigate, not themselves, but have an outsider head an investigation and prosecution of what was going on in the Obama administration, both in the FBI and the Department of Justice, and other departments were involved. Just let me emphasize this. Why the focus is on FBI actions and the fact that the Department of Justice did not prosecute Hillary Clinton. They should have. And if they had not, if the fix had not been in, and if President Obama had weighed in, he did weigh in. He finally came to the realization that the only way the Democratic Party could win is if Hillary Clinton was the nominee. Now, when he came to that realization, that's when he made sure that the Department of Justice and the FBI knew that, as far as he was concerned, she wasn't guilty of anything. Well, that's his opinion. But if he truly was president of the United States, and he was, and was trying to do the right thing, the day James Comey, on July 5th, 2016, and he was insubordinate, at that day, after that press conference, he should have fired James Comey right then. He didn't do that. Because James Comey did, not in all the details, but did exactly the right thing in terms of what Obama wanted. He wanted Hillary Clinton off the hook. Now notice, what am I talking about? Am I talking about Paul Manafort only in passing? There was a conspiracy, not collusion, conspiracy was going on. Communications were made between people in the White House, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Central Intelligence Agency, NSA, and the State Department. That is the true crimes that up to now, no action truly has been taken to go after those people. Now, why? They're politically connected. The former attorney general, the former FBI director, the former deputy FBI director, the former deputy attorney general, they were all in on it. They were all partisans. The ends justify the means, and the ends here was the election of Hillary Clinton to carry on the legacy of Barack Obama. Most Democrats and many, many Republicans thought if Hillary Clinton got the nomination, she would be the next president and most likely would have two terms. That was by far conventional wisdom and the consensus. But something happened. The American people weighed in and they came to the polls. And Donald Trump, by wisely focusing in on certain states, because both parties know, both candidates know, if you want to be president of the United States, you have to get a minimum of 270 electoral college votes. You see, the American people, if you think about it, you never elect a president. I know many of you, well, wait a minute, I voted for Trump or I voted for Hillary Clinton. Not really. Who you were really voting for was an elector pledged to one or more candidates. And Donald Trump initially had 366 electoral votes. When the votes were finally cast, he got 304. You only need 270 to become president of the United States. He had more than enough, and Hillary Clinton came up short. The popular vote, why important, doesn't make you president of the United States. We've had several candidates in the past who had won the popular vote but lost in the Electoral College. And that's how you have to win. That's the way it was set up under the Constitution. And it's not going to be changed. I know there's some people that like the popular vote. I do, but what I like about the Electoral College, it forces candidates not to just focus on a few states. You have to really allocate your resources, your time, very well to make sure you get the 270. And if you do that, you'll become president. If you don't do that, you don't. You see, I don't think Donald Trump really thought he could get nominated or win. I really don't. But, and remember, this is the first time he's run for an elected office. He pulled it off. And America loves a winner. It truly does love a winner. A competitor. A person that tells it the way it is. And Donald Trump made a few issues central to his campaign. By far, what you ideally want to choose is three or four issues where your position, if well articulated, either two-thirds to three-fourths of the American people agree with you. And I knew, because I've been following the illegal alien invasion of this country, that Donald Trump had picked the right issue. You better believe he picked the right issue. If you ask me why I got elected, that's one of the things I would point to. Now, Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. She's really not likable. She has a long history of lying. But she was the establishment candidate. But the American people are, first and foremost, in terms of the majority, are not Democrat or Republican anymore. They've left both parties. They do not trust what I call big lie media, your television networks, the news on those networks, as well as cable news, CNN, or the major newspapers. And because of the internet, unlike 50 years ago, where the major networks and the newspapers had much more power, today people can find information on their own. Whether it's YouTube, articles, you name it, you can go out and find the information and make up your mind. Now, you need to understand something, and this is, I always remind myself, I would say at least 40 to 50% of the American people today really don't care. They're focusing on their lives. They're making money, supporting a family, paying the mortgage. They're not interested in politics. And to the extent they are interested in it, remember, I'm not saying everybody. I'd say a good 50% are. It's really, when you finally get their attention, they focus in on it. It's really maybe a month or more right before the election. That's why October, early November are key. Remember, it's the second Tuesday in November is Election Day. Now, do you think the American people are interested in the Manafort case? No. Most Americans don't even know who he is. And if they do, they don't really care. Now, why do I care? I don't like to see the power of the government. I'm talking the Department of Justice, the FBI, the special counsel, go after people. Now, I'm all for law and order. I'm all for enforcing the law. You know, Donald Trump, President Trump, uses the phrase witch hunt, and that's an accurate description of it. They're going after people that they label as opposed to criminal activity. And down that road leads to totalitarianism. You know, a tyranny can be authoritarian or totalitarian. We got I won't say the first taste, but a good example of a police state in what the Clinton-Obama Democrat criminal conspiracy, first and foremost, involved the police, the FBI, and the Department of Justice going after people and misusing the surveillance, the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. And the only reason they could do that is they misled the court. And keep in mind, everything that we know so far, we most likely would never know anything or very little about it had Hillary Clinton won. In some sense, we dodged a bullet. Donald Trump was never supposed to be president of the United States. And now they're trying to go after anybody, or nearly anybody, that was active in his campaign. And they've come up empty. You can't. Now, it would not surprise me, and the jury's still out on this. They would like to get Trump. Their goal is to find the evidence, the smoking gun, however you want to describe it, with pictures and audio of Trump colluding, conspiring with the Russians. Up to now, they've come up empty, and I think they will come up empty. Because you better believe if they had anything on Trump, it would have been all over big lie media by now. They really haven't put a glove on him. He's Teflon Trump, but I know something about Trump. He likes to pride himself in being unpredictable, but he wants to get even. You better believe he wants to get even. He's biding his time. And at some point, and I hope the sooner the better, he's going to make some changes in the Department of Justice and the FBI and issue some orders to go after all the people, especially the key players that were involved in the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy. If you want to know why, you're seeing what's been labeled Trump derangement syndrome is the Democratic Party and their supporters in big lie media, in other words, the networks, the newspapers. Why there's mass hysteria? They're afraid, first of all, that Trump is going to succeed, and he is succeeding, folks. He hasn't done everything he promised, but he has some successes. We'll know Friday when the unemployment report comes out, and we'll know in the coming months, is the economy booming, growing? I think it's growing. The question is how much and how long it can be sustained. And if it is sustained, Donald Trump will win a second term. But I think after the midterms, Donald Trump will go after the people that have gone after him, his friends, his supporters. You better believe he will. And many people that were involved in this criminal conspiracy, they're panicking. That's why the rhetoric on the left, it's over the top. This is not overreaching. This is Looney Tune lands. That's why I call them the lying lunatic left. They are on the left. They want collectivism. They want power and control over you and me. And they do believe that the ends justify the means, and they will do what's ever necessary to discredit, smear, frame their political enemies. And that's what they're trying to do. It's not working because the American people know this is not only unfair, this is a big lie that big lie media is propagating. Now, that doesn't mean Manafort may or may not have committed crimes. That's for a jury of his peers to decide in Virginia. And remember, this is just one of two, maybe more cases against Manafort. But this is a big one, because if Mueller loses this, and I have no idea what the odds are here, and frankly, I don't care, Mueller's credibility will diminish, and that will give an opening come mid-November. Now, I'm not trying to predict whether it be November, December, or January, but at some point, Donald Trump has to go after his political enemies that tried to put him in jail. He can be patient and really pick a spot, and that's what he's doing. And if Attorney General Sessions or Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein don't do the right thing and appoint a special counsel, they're going to be gone, and there will be a special counsel because the replacements will support them. That will happen. It should happen. Because Donald Trump, rightfully, should go after these people. They were going after him. They were trying to impeach him. And once that happens, the lying lunatic left losers are going to go nuts. Expect violence on the streets. It's already happening, folks. These people sound like nutcases. They should seek professional help, counseling. But they won't. They are blinded by their own lies. They can't get over the fact that the American people rejected them and their candidate. And if it happens again in November, it's going to be, how should I say, gut-wrenching. They won't be able to take it. And then when Trump goes after him, and he should go after him, and the reason's very clear, when you have criminal activity by people in the prior administration that thought they could get totally away with it and crossed a very bright red line using the assets, the people of the federal government, to attack their political opponent. And the basis of that attack was fraudulent by admitting from the FISA warrant application that this was bought and paid for opposition research, bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Now, I went over this because I was looking at some information, clips, if you will, statements, a compilation of some of the statements, what people were saying on the left. And I've always said the so-called progressives, they like that name. They can have it. And I always tell the story, communists in America, I mean members of the Communist Party, they always like to call themselves progressives, too. Oh, I'm a progressive. What they really were was a communist. And the communist and socialist are authoritarian and totalitarian. But it was the prior Soviet Union, communist China. They don't allow dissent. They crush dissent. They will crush people in their own party that doesn't go along with the party line. They are vicious. And they will use the power of the state, the police power of the state, to go after their political enemies, whether it's in their own party or in the opposition parties. And this was led by Barack Obama. He crossed the line. He must be brought to justice. Both him, Hillary Clinton, and all the other people in the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, and deputies, Sally Yates, and other deputies. Same of the FBI. The American people are demanding it. That's why they keep shouting at Trump rallies, Trump events, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. That scares who? The people that should be locked up because they thought they could get away with it. They were politically connected. They were part of the elite. They thought they were protected. They thought the laws of the United States don't apply to them. They believe that the oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend really should be betrayed, not honored. So at some point, Donald Trump, he's fighting back, but he will go after them. He has to go after him because if he doesn't, he will gradually lose his supporters. Remember, up to now, I don't think big lie media, the networks, newspapers, they haven't laid a glove on him. Now, the people in the media think, wow, we're going to get him. We got him. We got him. We got him. It doesn't work, and they can't believe it. You see, they forgot something fundamental, and it always gets back to trust. Once the American people don't believe you because they've caught you in one or more lies, you can say anything you want, but it's automatically dismissed, assuming they even watch you. Most people, if I see that a source, whether it's a newspaper, magazine article, television, newscast, or even talk radio, deliberately lie to me, and I'm not talking a mistake, I mean a deliberate lie, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not. And then what goes out the window is, no matter what they say, they're not credible. Now, they will, and this is important, it's not that no one's listening to them. The true believers, the Kool-Aid drinkers, the ones that they rely on that believe this swill, this propaganda, oh, they'll still shake their heads and repeat the lies. They're part of the echo chamber. But what they're losing is the majority of the American people. And once you lose that, it's difficult, if not impossible, to restore. That's why I say, keep it up. Please keep it up. Show me what you're really about. And that's what's being revealed. There will be a day of reckoning in terms of the economic consequences of massive spending by both Democrats and Republicans. But there also will be a day of reckoning for the political leadership, Democrat and Republican, that have deliberately gone out of their way not to listen to and really dismiss the concerns, the legitimate concerns and issues that the American people are concerned about. Now, story two is not a specific news event. It's actually a trend, and it's a long-range trend. I labeled it authoritarianism of the lying lunatic left. But in the United States, what's happened is that both parties have moved to the so-called left. They're both collectivist parties. They're both big government parties. They want you to believe that there is a fundamental difference between the two. Oh, there are differences in terms of people and priorities and what they want to accomplish. But that's always the case. But fundamentally, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party want to grow the size, the scope, and most importantly, the role of government. That ultimately will lead to the financial day of reckoning, where budgets will be squeezed because of, first of all, higher interest rates to borrow, and the government simply cannot borrow enough to pay its bills. And they will go to the max to try to avoid that day of reckoning. But it's coming. Now, that to many, especially if you're a big advocate of the what I call the warfare and welfare state. Oh, it's coming, and there will be another second American Revolution. Hopefully, a nonviolent revolution, where instead of massive big government programs, we return out of necessity to limited government. Now, I'm an advocate of limited government. I'm an advocate of non-intervention, non-interference by the government, primarily in the U.S. economy, but also intervening abroad. Both political parties have become big government parties. That's why I don't vote for either one of them, and I don't expect any change whether the Democratic Party wins or the Republican Party wins. If you want change, truly want change, truly want limited government, want the government off your back, it requires a movement, but it also requires a political party. And that is why you no longer hear about the Tea Party. Oh, there are still people that support the Tea Party, but it faded. Invariably, what happens is political parties try to co-opt the ideas of any movement. But it's hard to co-opt the ideas of any movement where the movement wants limited government, because the American people can look at now really over 120 years of both parties over time, gradually but unmistakably have expanded the government. So that today, the government that the American people have, we can't afford it. And you see that in annual deficits of hundreds of billions of dollars, leading to national debts of trillions of dollars. But the inevitable fact of unfunded obligations, liabilities to pay for the entitlement programs and government pensions and welfare programs, that will ultimately be the undoing of the warfare and welfare state. And we'll start anew and hopefully have a peace and prosperity economy. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.